Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. He's Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so you can look for a brand new one of those tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link and follow it right over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, Dan and I would greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
All right, Dan, I have immense breaking news that I don't think anybody would believe if they heard it to start the show off with. But, Dan, I want you to know, and I don't know if you would believe this or not, but college basketball is dirty, Dan. It's a dirty, dirty business.
What now?
So, the FBI... Some of the names and stuff that they were investigating have leaked out. And they have 23 schools that have, that they have basically proven have done wrongdoing. This is just for the basketball part of it. God only knows if they're going to do football. But a lot of schools' names, I mean, you're going to know here, they're in alphabetical order. We've got Alabama, Clemson, Creighton, Duke, Iowa State, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisville, LSU, Maryland, Michigan State, North Carolina State, North Carolina, Notre Dame, Seton Hall, USC, Utah, Villanova, Virginia, Washington, Wichita State, Texas, and Xavier are all the schools that are on this list. So... it'll be interesting to see how kind of the NCAA handles this. At this point, I'm not even sure what they could actually do.
I mean, aren't they in on it?
So, yeah, well, it was humorous if you would have heard the statement by their commissioner, Mark Emmert, I believe his name is. He totally played he used the term systematic failure, and, you know, it must be fixed and fixed now. And it was just kind of like, yeah, okay, like, you guys give a rat's ass about any of this. You know, all you're looking for is the big time payday, you know, that these sports provide to you and, you know, your league. But, you know, there were some players also involved. Mavericks first round pick from last year, Dennis Smith, received a total of $73,500 while he was in school. Some of the bigger numbers, $73,500. So... Isaiah Whitehead received $37,657. Not sure how you end up with such an odd number. There's a couple guys. Martell Fultz was the number one pick in the draft. He got $10,000. This is all from an agency called ASM. They're the ones whose files got raided by the FBI. That's where they're getting all this information from. There are actually a couple active players on this list. Kentucky has a player, and it's interesting that Kentucky came out and denied ever having anything to do with any of this, which is what all these schools are going to do. But they have a kid by the name of Edris Abayo, I believe his name might be pronounced, but he goes by Bam. He received $36,500. And if you go in and you look at the article, they actually have this company's balance sheet with all the players' names listed, and there are quite a few. So, but yeah, it looks like current players that they have. Kevin Knox is another guy at Kentucky. Wendell Carter's playing at Duke. Colin Sexton is playing at Alabama. And Miles Bridges from Michigan State are players that have received money from ASM. So yeah, I don't know, Dan. How does the NCAA fix it?
Pretending like it didn't happen.
Yeah, humorously, what everybody has said now is they're like, well, now they can come out and just start paying their players. I think we all know that's probably not going to happen.
No, because then they would lose out on their money.
Yeah, so, I don't think I would have problem if, a player got a little money to live on, because I know there are times where they say, these guys don't even have money to go out to eat. So, I wouldn't have an issue if, they had the extra cash to, do what college kids do, go to McDonald's or grab a pizza or whatever it is that goes, the college kids do now. I mean, it's not like going out to five-star restaurants or anything, so... I think, there's something, quite wrong there. But, I don't want to see these guys, get paid tens of thousands of dollars to play college basketball. I just think it's morally wrong. But I don't know. Is it just me? Is that the problem?
No, I mean, $73,000 is a little expensive.
I'd like to think that, that was enough to, help them out. That was the big, obviously the big, big news of the day, this is going to be a huge deal. So, I don't know. I don't know if football's next. I don't know if they went in and looked at football, or if we're gonna get, more of this, or how it, how it kind of works out. But yeah, it's really it's a dirty, dirty business. I mean, it's unbelievable, and this is just one agent that they looked into. One agency. So. I don't know if they'll find more or if they have more, but, it'll be interesting to see how the NCAA tries to cover it up or try to handle it or maybe make it right. I'm lost for ideas. I was hoping you'd have a good one.
They just need to quit with the facade.
If it was me, I would punish all the kids by making them go to class and actually have to pass, but that would just be me. So, I don't think there would be a greater punishment for any of those guys. Cause you and I both know none of these guys are going to class and, isn't going to change anything. I just think humorously that whichever team probably wins the NCAA basketball tournament this year will probably have to vacate it. But, you know, it's not going to take away the fact that they won it. You know, I know they just did that to Louisville earlier in the week, and one of their players tweeted out the fact that it doesn't change the fact that he's got a championship ring that says he won the championship. So there you go. You know, I mean, I know you and I joked about the Reggie Bush Heisman thing. So,
well, you know, and that ring is probably worth even more on the secondary market.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. So, you know, now especially because, you know, it's tainted. But yeah, so I don't know. You know, that's just been the big news, and I figured that would be a good place to start.
You mean you didn't want to jump into the White Sox signing like 15 other people today?
Oh, did they add a bunch of people? I actually finally saw something on a Jake Arrieta update here, but I'm trying to see if they actually have anything that you know makes sense or mean anything, or if they're just kind of rehashing, you know, everything. You know, they mention Washington right now is apparently the favorite to sign him, followed by Milwaukee, Philadelphia, and the Cardinals. Are you feeling any of those four teams as an actual landing spot?
I can see him going to the Cardinals or Washington.
You know, they don't really talk about money yet, you know, on what, you know, what he's going to want or what he's asking for. They kind of throw the Twins in as an afterthought because they feel that he's out of their price range, even though they did off Darvish over $100 million in a contract. So we'll have to see. John Heyman is reporting that there are actually 7 clubs besides besides the 5 I mentioned. He throws in the Dodgers and the Orioles as prospective teams interested.
We talked about that before. It would be hilarious if he went back to Baltimore.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll have to see. But, you know, yeah, that was the first I'd actually seen on him in quite a while, in a few weeks, or about a week maybe. I think there was something last week. So, but yeah, you know, there were a couple signings of guys whose, you know, names we actually know. The Detroit Tigers added Francisco Liriano. He got a 1-year deal worth $4 million. And then the Royals signed outfielder Michael Saunders to a minor league deal with, you know, the invite to spring training. So yeah, you know, we're slowly but surely knocking off a few more, you know, a few more of these guys who are still hanging around out there. I didn't see anything about the White Sox signing. Did they sign anybody that we would know, or
no,
was
like
it just?
Well, yeah, but I mean, it was all their guys. All their minor league guys.
Oh, okay.
You know, including Eloy, Adam Engel, Tyler, Saladino, Moncada. You know, it was just, I'm sure, the formality of everything. Giolito, Palmer.
Yeah.
So, but it was 26. So.
You know, and then I know, and I don't know how you describe it, you know, with the Tampa Bay Rays this year, but. I actually saw an interview with this guy earlier in the season. They have a big pitching prospect by the name of Brent Honeywell, who had kind of an outside chance at making the starting rotation with everything that's went on out there. And, he got hurt in camp. Now he's going to need Tommy John. And that opportunity is going to have to wait until next season for him to see if he can get into the Rays rotation. So yeah, just kind of, you know, almost just like it's piling on for them now. I mean, obviously they did most of it to themselves. But yeah, this is just like, oh, great, here you go. Now we can't even catch a break here. So.
Well, isn't that one of those, that's what you get?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things, you could kind of look at it like that. You know, I mean, you know, they did, you know, all this stuff on their, you know, on their own. So, you know, just like, hey, great, here you go. Now we got some, you know, more bad luck for them. So.
Well, you know, as long as Craig Cooper didn't make any comments, I think everything's okay.
Yeah, well, as long as nobody asks him about it, right? You just got to kind of...
Yeah.
You know, to kind of see how that goes, or possibly, you know, that kind of fun stuff. So, yeah, just stay away from Bryce Harper, and everything will be just fine. So... But yeah, you know, it's the you know, the first set of games today. You know, there were some games yesterday, but they were against, you know, college teams. So I found this fun thing, Dan. 10 things that this writer can't wait to see in spring training. And I'm sure, you know, I'm guessing most of these won't surprise you. And I'm actually going to give you a shot at guessing number one, because it's one of those fun things that I think with our, you know, with our East Coast bias that we get, you got a really good shot at landing this. So what's the number one thing on this guy's bucket list to see this spring?
Red Sox Yankees.
No, you're very close, though. It does feature the Yankees. He's excited about Giancarlo Stanton's debut.
Oh.
I'm not as all that. Number two is Nolan Arenado's all-around brilliance. I don't get that one. This one I like. Three is D. Gordon making his center field debut. Four is Manny Machado at short. Five is Byron Buxton playing center field. Six is Joey Votto gets back to his old tricks. Okay. Seven, Marcell Ozuna's debut as a Cardinal. Is Austin Meadows looking to fill Andrew McCutchen's shoes? I believe Meadows actually started off pretty well, went 3-for-3 today. Nine is Rays prospect Willie Adams. And then 10 is Zach Wheeler returning from injury. You know, at the end, I don't think they give this guy's name, because I got to tell you. Yeah, Eric Chesterton is the one who wrote this article. And, Dan, I think you could have came up with 10 better things in your sleep than he did. But those are the 10 things he's excited about.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I've got a few things. I mean, who's not excited to see the annual Vegas game that, you know, I don't know who it would be between, but they usually do a game in Vegas. That's always fun to watch. Can't wait to see the White Sox put together their whole rookie sensation infield. That's number two. Kyle Schwarber, that second after Ian Happ leading off, because that actually makes sense.
That was today's lineup.
Yeah, I know. I was kind of surprised. I was confused. And I couldn't watch any replays because it was on MLB Network. And I'm going to have to upgrade that package so I can get those games.
Yeah.
Number four, what would be number four, Big Jack? Dick Arrieta pitch. Number five, Yu Darvish pitch. A game between the Red Sox and the Yankees down in on the YES Network, of course. um, Giancarlo Stanton, Aaron Judge, and Gary Sanchez hitting back-to-back-to-back home runs. That's seven. Shohei Ohtani pitched and hit a home run. That's eight. Man, this is getting rough now off the top of my head without looking at anything baseball. The Padres, just seeing them put together something would be fun. And number 10, the Red Sox outfield. I think they have 10 guys.
Yeah, you know, I got to say, I was a little surprised he didn't have Shohei Ohtani on his list. You would think that would be a big deal for most people, but I guess not.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, look at that.
No,
you did 10 right off the top. You did 10 off the top of your head, and they were better than his 10.
You think so? Because I just kind of winged that one. Some of them were a little sarcastic and ridiculous, but honestly, spring training or regular season, how cool would it be to see Judge, Stanton, and Sanchez back-to-back-to-back? I mean, I'll throw Greg Burton there or Clint Frazier.
What about Didi?
And Didi. Third Didi.
We probably will see those three go back-to-back-to-back at some point in time during the season. So...
And Forrest Whitley. Oh, wait. He's suspended.
Yeah, wait. Not right away. Gonna be a little bit there before that happens. So, you know, we got to kind of see how that goes. Oh, at least 50 games, right?
Yep. It'll be interesting, though, to see if he actually, being one of the prospects, if he actually makes get the call up this season.
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, in all
so
serious,
now Dan,
I mean, you just wonder with their system if he would actually get called up this year. Before you jump in, then, do you think baseball is going to be irrelevant in Florida this year? Aside from spring training, that'll be relevant. But once the regular season starts,
yeah, it's always kind of. Well, it's been, well, I don't know. There was, you know, the Marlins were looking positive for a little while, but yeah, it's kind of. I think, yeah, it will be interesting. You know, Whitley is a highly rated prospect. So I'm wondering, if it's possible. I mean, you know, if there's an injury or, you know, anything like that, obviously it would have to be later. He is just 20. I didn't know that. God, he's 6'7". Holy cow. He spent most of the time in Class A last year. He pitched four games total in Double A. I don't know. I guess that's who they have in, you know, at Triple A that they could count on in that situation. So, but... You know, it is possible.
And going back to some stupidity that MLB executives have brought up that you brought up yesterday, and which I heard someone talking about this morning, and I didn't even think about this situation. So, you know, with that stupid idea of letting anyone bat in the ninth spot, is it just the ninth spot or the ninth inning?
I heard today, I'm trying to think who I had on or what I was watching. I think it was on the Mickey Mouse Network. They were saying that the manager could send up any three hitters he wanted in the ninth inning. I don't know how accurate that is or any of that. So,
I mean, but if
they
could just essentially throw up anybody. If you could just throw up anybody in the ninth inning, essentially you could have one guy just bat in the ninth inning.
I don't know. I haven't seen if there's, you know, a rule like that, but yeah, the way they said today, where, you know, it's like you could send anybody up, makes it seem like, well, hey, you can send anybody up multiple times. So
I don't know. It just, I hate to bring it up again, but it's just so stupid, because then, you know, if the losing team, see, and that's what makes no sense. Like, if it's the home team, then you're waiting all home field advantage. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
Because obviously, if, you know, we're at Wrigley Field, the Cubs are winning, you let the top half, you let, you know, say the Cardinals come in and put whoever they want in the ninth, and they take the lead. Well, now the Cubs are the losing team, so they get to do whatever they want. It's a dumbass rule. I mean, and people are still concerned with the length of the game, that, oh, who wants to sit down and watch 3 hours of a game? Well, you know, and it's not really Major League Baseball issue. It's the networks. I mean, because I sat down and watched a game that's gone 2 hours long, and, you know, it was a quick game, but that's because the pace was quicker, and, you know, that could even have been a nine to ten game or whatever. A lot of it stems from, you know, booking of the commercial. I mean, that's the biggest issue, and I still don't understand why Porter or anybody who pays the player brings up the fact that it's the network and their sponsors that extend the game.
Yeah, well, they did, you know, shorten commercial breaks is also part of the deal. So not very much, but they did shorten them. So we'll see how that works out. So, but yeah, what I wanted to help you with.
You want me to finish, or you want to go?
No, go ahead and finish. Yeah, go ahead and finish up. I was going someplace else. So.
All right. Well, you know, it's a lot of the in-game action isn't what needs to be sped up. It's all the in-between stuff. So the changing of the guard beat when you're switching innings, that takes long. You know, the whole pitching warm-up, like this guy's been warming up an hour, 2 hours before the game. You mean to tell me he needs to throw another 10, 15 pitches between every inning? No, he's only doing it for the commercial breaks. They're only throwing the ball around the, you know, first base to third to short to second because of the commercial breaks. So I don't understand why there's all this need to speed up the in-game process when it's all the extra stuff that slows it down. So,
yeah,
there you go.
I don't get it. Yeah, I don't get it either. I'm as confused as you are with it. But, you know, we'll see if it works. You know, they're trying the stuff. I mean, allegedly, you know, there's a clock that tells you when they're coming back from commercial break. And, you know, the plan is to have – now there is. I don't know if every – you know, that's the idea now. You know, because they shortened it. I think they only shortened them by 5 or 10 seconds. And I forgot the number, but good Lord, I didn't realize, you know, I knew they were long. I just didn't realize how long the commercial break were in the playoffs. But, yeah, that was ridiculous. But, yeah, you know, the set is that the pitcher is supposed to be ready to go when they come back from commercial. You know, the batter is supposed to be in the box and the pitcher is supposed to be ready to go, and we're going to go, but I don't know if I buy that, so we'll see how it works out.
And Wilson Contreras is going to be paying a lot of money out of his salary.
Yeah. So, probably, you know. But, yeah, what I wanted to help you with is I wanted to keep your trivia game strong because, you know, there's always people who ask goofy questions. So just so you know, Dan, the first spring training home run hit this year was by Curtis Granderson of the Blue Jays.
Yay, so, good for him.
Yes. And then what I didn't realize, and I don't know why you didn't update me, your guy Julio Urias was moved to the 60-day DL today. And they're saying that he's not expected to be available to the second half of the season.
Oh, wow. for the Dodgers? I mean, is he going to be up there full time? Because he can't pitch past five innings. Sadly.
Well, you know, I'm guessing with this injury, he probably ain't going to be there at all. You know, unless he gets a September call up. But yeah, you know, Dan, I mean, how much longer before we kind of? I mean, I know he's only 21, but. You know, he hasn't shown any great success that we were promised at the major league level. Is this guy going to wash out? Is he going to be one of the guys we're going to be talking about in a couple of years that was just a bust?
To be honest, I don't even know if you would call him a bust. I think maybe because the expectations were too high, but, you know, I think you're right because the money he was beginning, it was supposed to be Fernando Mania Part 2. And
yeah.
I don't even think I got a .1 out of that.
So, yeah, you just kind of look at, you know, I mean, like, the, you know, when they brought him up in 16, he was actually pretty good. You know, 5-2 with that 3.39 ERA, 15 starts, 18 games, it was 77 innings. But I'm wondering if maybe they figured him out. He made 5 starts last year. He was 0-2 with a 5.40 ERA. And in those 5 starts, Dan, we're talking 23 1/3 innings. So he just averaged over a little over 4 innings a start.
Like I told you, he can't get past the 5th inning.
Yeah, you know what I mean? He walked more guys than he struck out. He only struck out 11 guys in those 23 innings. He walked 14. So, yeah, just kind of looking at it, because I think I had him on a team last year. You know, I picked him real late, or maybe I bought him real late, you know, one of the guys who went through. You know, hoping to kind of get a steal there, and I got absolutely nothing for my fantasy money's worth there.
Yeah, you got stolen.
So, just one of those things.
I think it was due to his success in the A and A plus league. You know, at 16 and 17, I think. They really thought he was going to break out, but, you know, in 2014, he had 100 strikeouts and higher A ball. So with Rancho Cucamonga, I don't really know much about the California League. So, you know, that was his big breakout. So, you know, then 2015, he pretty much played for, you know, AAA, AA, single A, and even in the all these, but you know, unfortunately, I think his minor league stats just really aren't going to translate into major league. And you know, how long before they create the quadruple A, where you just play a major league season?
I don't know. I mean, this, you know, the injury is obviously another setback.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't know, you know, how it's going to work out. But, yeah, I mean, if he's going to, you know, you got to figure, I mean, he's not going to have spring training. He's out the first half of the season. You know, there's probably just not a spot for him, you know, by the time these things roll around. I mean, you know, and it's too bad because I think they could use probably another starter. But, yeah, I don't know if he's going to be the guy.
You've got to wonder if he'll even, you know, I forget how the contracts work, but, you know, he's not even arbitration eligible till 2021. So we're talking 3 more full seasons. And then I believe you get 3 arbitration years. So how does that work? Will he make it through that? Or,
yeah.
Excuse me. Or will we see him go back to Mexico?
and maybe you got it. Yeah.
Take off down there. I don't.
Maybe, you know, maybe they could bring Fernando in to help him or something. I don't know.
No, Fernando's in the, during spring training, but he's out of it. And Fernando does their Spanish broadcasting.
But while we're speaking of the Dodgers here, Dan, they are apparently one of three teams interested in Tim Lincecum. It appears that it is the Dodgers, the Padres, and the Giants who have all kind of expressed some interest in possibly bringing Lincecum in after his workout. So
not bad, 3 out of 20, and two of them are, contenders. I don't know. It would kind of be cool to see him in the Dodgers uni, but I really believe his best fit would be with the Giants. Bruce Bochy knows this kid, or this man. You know, he's not a kid anymore. He, Bochy knows him.
So, I really think that's probably his best landing spot, depending on, what they want to. But, I still don't assume he's going to be a starter. I really think his future is just, middle relief type guy. If he wants to start, maybe the Padres are the place to go because they're probably going to allow him to do that. It does look like the Dodgers, another starter, maybe they would take a look at him at the back of the rotation. You have to wonder how that shakes out. But, with the guys slowly kind of, dropping off the board, I'm actually a little surprised that he hasn't been signed by somebody yet.
It's been a weird offseason, obviously, but, how old is he? I forgot his age. He's got to be, 31, 33?
33.
So, maybe that time off really, put that arm back in place. And, I don't know what his velocity would be like, but I'm sure he can get that control, and I think that would be helpful.
Yeah. Well, they had him hitting, 90-plus in the workout. So... that was, a big deal there was because I believe with the Angels last year, he wasn't touching 90. But, in the workout, he hit 90. He hit 90-plus. I thought I saw he was actually at 92 or 93 on some guns. So...
And I assume he still has the control, right?
Yeah, you would think. I don't know. Obviously you and I weren't at the workout, but, he's always had control before. I don't know why, all of a sudden. Okay. So.
I don't know, but, like I said, it would be awesome to see him back, back home. But I think it would be cool to see him in a Dodgers uni too. But, like you said, it's best chance to come out the gate starting will most likely be with San Diego.
Yeah, I just think it'd be cool to see him, get back in and, get a chance to pitch a little more because, it just didn't... didn't really end well with, the injuries and all that kind of stuff. So, I think it would be cool if he could, get another shot there.
Yeah, well, and he had a couple solid games with the Angels last year.
Yeah, he started better, out of the gate he was okay, and then it just kind of all fell apart. So,
Yeah, but at the same time, it with the injuries that plagued the Angels pitching staff to begin with, it was almost like he was the only starter left to go.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely was a weird year for them. I mean, you got to think they'll just, they'll be closer, this year just for guys staying healthy. So.
Which, oddly, I had several Angels on my pitching last year. Go figure, yeah. Shoemaker and someone else. Can't remember who was on that team, but.
Yeah, I actually ended up with Parker Bridwell in a pickup move there, so that worked out okay for me. He ended up being one of their better starters. Oddly, I don't even know, I don't know who's hurt and who's not hurt now coming back. So
yeah.
We'll have to see how that all works out.
Well, and maybe I don't know if it's because we're more baseball guys than. Really in the NBA or the NHL, which we didn't, get into this year with fantasy-wise. But do you find yourself using the waiver wire a lot more in baseball than the other leagues? Obviously with the NFL and we have defensive guys, we're always kind of going back and forth with that one. But as a whole, do you find yourself using the waiver wire a lot more during baseball season?
It last year I did, but a lot of it had to do with that damn 7-day DL because, guys would go on it for, no reason whatsoever. Remember the Cubs put John Lester on it because he needed rest, which is actually a no-no, and they probably should have been fined for it, and I think they got away with it. That really made it one of those things where it was like, okay, great. I've got to figure out what the heck is going on here. So.
Yeah, but it was rumored that the Dodgers were kind of doing that left and right.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm sure that, every team used it that way. The only reason they ever found out about the Cubs doing it with Lester is because Joe Maddon slipped up in a press conference, and he actually said it. That's the only reason anybody actually ever found out about it. So.
I know you can't retract your statement, but is that one of those situations where you're like, well, I just said that because I didn't really want you to know why he was injured?
Yeah, that's definitely, where you wish you were in the National Hockey League and you could just say upper or lower body at that point. So, because, it was just like, oh, all right, what do we do now? Like, well, I let it out there. Now, how do we, how do we cover it up?
You can't.
But I know, one thing, we got to look out for, Dan, as we get closer to our drafts and stuff, since spring training did open, I noticed right away that Matt Carpenter had to be scratched out of the Cardinals lineup because his back is still giving him trouble. And obviously he's going to be a high profile pick for somebody. I mean, I don't know if he's a first rounder, but in our league with, being 20 teams, he's probably a second rounder. If not a second, then he's an early third rounder. So, he's right in that area. So yeah, it's that time where, we got to start looking and start watching and seeing who's dinged up and, who's okay and all that other fun stuff.
Well, and it's hard, cause especially with the back, the back is obviously, if they don't tell you exactly, they really don't tell you exactly, is it lower, upper, middle, does it have to do with the shoulders, shoulder blades? You never know with those situations and, how it's really going to affect them and if it will continue or if it's, just a nice little sprain in the middle of the back, but once it becomes lower down towards the lumbar spine, it's, you know, it could be an issue. So it's so rough with the back because they don't really give you the full details on it. But I do see why it's easier to do the draft, you know, right before the season starts. As I told you a couple of days ago, I joined a league that I was quickly taken out of for some reason. But, you know, I don't know if it's because I didn't drop all the NA guys yet, but all the NA guys just were simply free agents who hadn't been signed yet. So it's like I did want to go in there knowing that the league was open and, you know, immediately just drop my NAs. But then I started looking at the names and I'm like, well, these guys could be signed in the next 30 days. So that would be stupid to give up a potential superstar or, you know, just below superstar status. For a bench guy. But, you know, as I went to check after we got on air, I was just kicked out of the league for no reason. Very hurt by that.
that's just how it goes. And, you know, speaking of that, you know, we do have our two leagues up and running. They are open. You know, I know we have 15 in one already, 16 in another. We filled a 20. So, you know, if you're interested, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com, you know, it's free. You know, we do it through Yahoo just for, you know, fun and bragging rights and all that other stuff. So, you know, send us an email. We'll shoot you the link. You can sign up, have a good time with us. You know, the drafts are the weekend before the season starts. You know, they start on like a Wednesday or a Thursday this year. So the drafts are actually about 4 days before the season starts. So, again, you know, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com, totally free, just, you know, for good times, and, you know, we'll go from there.
Ooh, I better send my invites out so I can get my my medals.
Yes, don't forget to do that. So,
of course,
but, you know, switching up sports here. Switching up sports here on you, Dan. How panicked are you now that the Cavaliers lost?
They lost.
Yeah, they lost to the Washington Wizards last night, believe it or not.
Well, I'm not really a Cavaliers fan, so to speak, but yeah, I don't really know what to say. You're asking the wrong guy.
You know, well, you know, the first loss for the, you know, first loss for the new wave Cavaliers, and they shot horribly. That was just a horrible night of shooting for them. And, you know, of course, you know, that was a big story on the networks that cover it all. So I figured I needed to know your level of panic, you know, in these new Cavaliers. And, you know, the Wizards beat them without John Wall, who's still out.
Sadly. Should have made that trade. I don't know. The playoffs are a different animal, and for those that don't believe that these guys turn it up a notch when it comes to the playoffs, they do. You know, and they can easily turn it down, as we've seen LeBron's, what was that, 2012 or 13 performance with the last year of his time with the Heat. Which was just flat out ridiculous. But, you know, I mean, if there's ESPNers that are panicking, I mean, they just need to take a chill pill and wait for the playoffs to come. You know, I still think it's interesting, though, that the two teams that have gone to the finals for the last few years no longer are just holding down that number one spot. Now, I don't know if that's by design, or, you know, they just don't care anymore. But I find that a little bit more interesting that they're not, you know, holding it down like they've done in the last couple of years.
Yeah, you know, I know, especially with, you know, the Cavs. Well, you know, the Cavaliers weren't the number one seed last year, you know, either. But I think they did go in as, like, number two. So they weren't hugely far off. In reality, for, you know, teams like that, the regular season is really meaningless. You know, they just need to get into the playoffs. So, you know, they might as well take it easy and take their days off and all the other things, right?
Yeah. But, you know, from what I see from even the Warriors, watching Steph Curry play now, it's almost like he's just kind of going out there and just going through the motions and, you know, getting it done, going, well, what does this really matter? We're just going to, you know, we'll turn it up in the playoffs and get to the finals.
You know, he turned it up last night. He was rolling last night. He had a huge night. So, you know, just one of those many nights that got Steph.
Do you think that's part of it, though, once these guys kind of get used to it? It's a little, you know, it's not that it doesn't mean as much, but and not to say they don't still work hard, but I think you can attest this to back when we used to wrestle and, you know, you become the champion for the first time and, you know, you're very giddy. Obviously, you're very excited. But, you know, as time goes on and you've done it more than once, it's almost like, been there, done that, and I'm holding myself just at a different level. You know, not taking it for granted or anything, but just maybe a little bit cheap, but you know,
yeah,
like kind of like what's left after this.
I wasn't ever champion, so I wouldn't know about any of that stuff. You know, I wasn't that good. So
I thought you were like a 10-time champion.
Yeah, I believe it was 8. That's, you know, one of those things. So,
kind of, you know, and you held all of them. Held them all at once.
Yeah, no, never managed to do that. I did have some idiot Booker actually offer him to have me win his cruiserweight title, which was quite humorous because I was probably double the weight for the cruiserweight limit. But, you know, guys do stupid stuff. So.
Yeah, well, I used to laugh when they used to call some guys the fat cruiserweight, and it's like, hey, he just might be chubby, because cruiserweight's 215 and under.
But I did see this and find it kind of interesting because it's a former local guy here. You know, Dan, I mean, obviously, you know, players kind of come and go, and you do always wonder, you know, what are they going to do after their careers? I mean, really, most of them, you know, if they have a long career, probably have enough money to just do absolutely nothing. But I found it quite interesting that former Chicago Bear Charles Tillman has become an FBI agent.
You didn't know about this?
No, I had no clue this is what he was planning on doing. I thought I remembered him vaguely mentioning it, but I didn't think he was serious.
Oh yeah, this was a serious thing because they, however many months ago, I think after, I don't remember if it was before, during, or you know after this NFL season, but the talks were there about him becoming an FBI agent because I believe 27 or. He's at the right age where if he would have waited till next year, he would have no chance to make it because they have some kind of age cutoff. And today it became official.
He turned 37 today. So.
Oh, okay.
But yeah. So yeah, apparently he is now an FBI agent after, you know, 2 years, you know, 3 years out of the league now. You know, he played his last year. He spent the majority of his career with the Bears, but 2015 he played with the Carolina Panthers. So he's been out, you know, this will be the third year he's been out. He did work for Fox Sports the first year. But yeah, now he's an FBI. Were they G-men? Do they still call him that, Dan? So.
No, but I think it's pretty cool that he went in that route and, you know, when he arrests people, will he punch them and be like, peanut punch? Sorry, bad joke. That was horrible. That was horrible.
It would be cool. It would be cool if he did. So
yeah,
you know, But yeah, and then, you know, while the NFL real quick, they had a, you know, the Chiefs made another big trade. You know, they shipped off their starting quarterback, Alex Smith, early in the offseason to Washington. Now today they've decided to trade all-pro cornerback Marcus Peters to the Los Angeles Rams. Now the move can't be official until March 14th, but it's expected that the Chiefs will get a package of draft picks back. Dan, you may actually remember Marcus Peters. He was the Chiefs player who picked up the ref's penalty flag and threw it into the crowd, and then thought after that that he was ejected after that and went back to the locker room. And when he came back out, when he found out he wasn't ejected, he came back out without his socks and I believe without his thigh pads to try to get back into the game. The Chiefs did suspend him one game for that. The NFL just fined him, but the Chiefs suspended him a game. He does lead the league in interceptions since he was drafted in 2015, and now he's on his way to the Rams.
Didn't they kind of put together a solid team last year, the Rams, that is?
Yeah. Yeah, as a Seahawks fan, I'm quite concerned that they are going to be even better this year. So it's going to be a tough division for my Seahawks this year. You know, they seem to be on the heading in the wrong direction while the Rams are heading in the right direction. Of course, that is the nature of the NFL, with the exception of the Patriots. You know, teams have down years and then they kind of bounce back. So,
well, I mean, like you said, the Seahawks are kind of heading in the opposite direction. Do you think, you know, maybe next season we'll see Russell Wilson kind of playing for one of the Yankees minor league teams?
Hey, you know, you never know. You know, I mean, he's going to spring training on Monday, but he's not going to do anything. You know, I guess he's just going to throw the ball around a little bit, but he's not playing in any games or anything like that. He's really just going as a motivational type of deal is, you know, what it is. So we'll see. But, yeah, you know, I mean, you never know. I mean, you know, his minor league stance. So you've got to wonder, you know, I mean, he hasn't really played, you know, if, you know, is there anything even really there to, you know, try it? But, you know, we'll see. Maybe he will.
You could take Ronald Torres.
You know, obviously, well, you know, obviously it makes to bring him in because, you know, just like Tim Tebow, people are going to come to see him play. So, you know, it wouldn't really hurt anything to have him there. Oh, boy, look at that. Dan and I are already done for the day. But, hey, don't forget, Mr. Fantasy and I are here at 10 a.m. on Sunday for 2 big hours of Sports Time Radio. First of all, Dan and I are away. You know what to do. SportsTimeRadio.com. Look for a new blog tomorrow morning. Link over to the Facebook page and give that a like. But don't forget the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can hunt Dan and I down on Twitter. We don't mind that at all. Go ahead and have some fun with us. It's cool. But, hey, big thanks for coming on here and listening to us live. Dan and I appreciate when you do that. But don't forget, you can get the podcast anytime you want over at TuneIn.com.
Sports Time Radio.